You know you belong together, little big pod forever. You're talking on air. Nathan has weird hair. From the very first moment I heard you, I never felt such emotion. From talking on air, I said no, you are there. So hold me in your arms and let me go. I wanna stay forever, closer each day. Graham and Nate.
Call it magic. Call it true.
I absolutely love that song.
Hey, a bit of magic. Bit of magic time.
Yeah, are we going to continue doing the whole charade that...
Hey, boys and girls, who wants to learn about magic? Bunny rabbit out of the hat.
The charade that you don't know who's coming up on the podcast, even though the name is on your screen now.
Well, we don't know.
We do.
Well, we actually do.
Well, it could be Keith, or it could be his secretary, Mairead, who was emailing me back yesterday after we set up the Zoom meeting.
Look, we have a heavy hitter on the podcast.
Do you want to just not...
Well, I just
pretend.
Say,
let's just do it properly.
This person, magician, / illusionist, / hypnotherapist, / hero.
Mentalist.
I always think when I hear the word mentalist that the person is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, guy is mental.
You're not right in the head. You're a big old mentalist.
This is very exciting for me because...
I'm very nervous. I see that you have a book of notes, and now I'm starting to stress out that I'm underprepared, and maybe I might have to have a little look at that little book of notes.
I'm cleaning my shoes in case you can see my shoes on Zoom.
We know with this podcast, if you're a first-time listener, we have a webcam, and the guest can only see Graham, can't see me. So I think, look, you'll welcome Keith on.
I
you
will.
Might say, who are you? Reveal yourself.
Reveal yourself.
And then I might say, hey, Keith, I'm also here. I'm going to show you what I look like.
I'm going to find it really hard not to ask him how did he do the trick. Because obviously he's not going to tell us.
Maybe he will.
He won't.
Maybe
he won't.
This is an exclusive.
He won't tell. And I'm going to try and not ask, how did you do that? Because I want to talk about a trick called Second Sight that I was watching yesterday. And I don't want to ask. That's a very amateurish question.
How are you not going to ask then?
I don't know. Maybe I'll...
Just
well,
can
I'll
you document
that.
About it?
I'll broach that when we're talking to him.
I want him to do a trick on you.
Yes, I do too.
He seems very receptive. He seems like he does enjoy doing tricks on people. He's not one of those magicians that might say, oh, would you leave me alone? He's approachable. I also enjoyed his bleached hair back in 2004.
Remind me to bring out that. It's a dirty wipe.
Dirty tissue that you wiped your shoes with.
Do you know what happened yesterday?
I don't really know what questions I'm going to ask.
The reason I wrote this, all right?
Yeah.
Because the amount of people that came to me and they said, well, not much, I'm a handful, really enjoyed the interview you did with...
That I did?
Patrick Harding.
Oh, yeah?
The guy from Drive to Survive.
They enjoyed it.
Alex Albon's personal trainer.
If you haven't listened to it yet, give it a listen.
And look,
great guy.
Turn my page. Look at the amount of research I did. Because I did research.
You were brilliant.
I did research.
I struggled in that episode.
So sometimes I feel like we can, you know, wing it. I actually think you can wing this one. Because I've listened to podcasts you forwarded me on yesterday. I was watching a few interviews of this guy. How do I say this guy? Keith Barry. And he's going to talk. So we won't have to be worrying about him not talking and filling
time. I hope he listens, baby. Because I have a lot to say.
I know.
So at some stage I might say, Keith, settle down. Let me talk. Okay, I'm just going to run through a few questions with you and the listener. Just see what you think.
Okay, so questions you're thinking about asking
Keith? Yeah. I'm thinking about asking him, has he ever met Dynamo or David Blaine?
Dynamo, yeah, absolutely.
And if you could spend a night with one of them, who would it be and why?
That's a good one.
That's a bit creepy, though. It sounds a bit like blind date.
No, if you could hang out.
If you could hang out with...
One other magician around the world.
David Blaine, Dynamo, and...
Darren Brown.
Yes.
See, I wrote those names.
Did you write down?
Yeah.
Did you write down all
See,
those?
This is it. I need the notes. You don't need the notes, brother.
I think I do. Do you know what's fascinating, guys? You listening, you might not know that Keith Barry worked on the film franchise Now You See Me.
I'm going to write that down.
With Woody Harrelson, Morgan Freeman, Dave Franco. I'm pretty sure Daniel Radcliffe.
Did you say Woody Harrelson?
Was in the second film. Yeah, Woody Harrelson.
That was a funny one, I'd say. I'd say when they were cast and go, will they get the fellow who was Harry Potter? Sure, he was a wizard. He'll know all the tricks.
Apparently, he's crazy in the second film. Now, I haven't seen the films, but
do you know what you have
in
seen?
This interview, I'm going to say I have. Because
nah,
I
no,
like to lie
no,
to the
don't say that. Don't. Say that.
Okay.
What we have seen is The Prestige.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
That's with Christian Bale and
Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
That's an incredible twist at the
here
end.
Here we go.
Are we here?
Here we go.
Okay. You do it, baby. Keep me in the dark.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh,
Keith.
Oh, Keithy, baby.
How are you, Keith? I am Graham off the Little Big Podcast. And see, the thing about our studio is, Keith, unfortunately, we only have the one camera. So I'm going to introduce you
yes.
to Nathan here, who's slightly off camera.
Will I get up and actually
come on,
reveal
around.
Myself, Keith Barry? This is like a trick.
Yeah, indeed.
I look like a very sick Marlon Dingle out of the show Emmerdale.
Here we go.
And hey, how's it going? Hey, you don't look sick at all. You look grand.
He's a little bit. Keith, wanna first of all, thank you very much for taking time out of your day to join us on Graham and Nathan's Little Big Podcast. From listening through previous podcasts and from reading about you, we understand that you are a very, very busy man. But question I want to ask is, you're under a lot of different titles, a magician, a hypnotherapist, mentalist, illusionist. Which are you, or are you all of the above?
All of the above, really. You know, I do a lot of things, and for me, that's what I kind of enjoy about my life, to be honest. So obviously I'm an entertainer as a hypnotist, a mentalist, a magician. So I do all of those different aspects on stage. And then separately from that, I'm also an executive coach, a consultant on movies. So look, I love to do lots of different things. Very often I think people pigeonhole themselves into doing one thing, but I'm a big fan of a guy from many, many moons ago called Jim Rohn. So Jim Rohn would have been like the original, well, we'll call him that, the original motivational speaker. And his advice was to do a lot of different things and do a lot of different things really well, because then if one of those falls down, you can bounce into one of the other things. You know,
I have to say, Keith, you're an interesting fellow. As you've said, you have your hands in many pies. I listened to you before, and you said that you sometimes go through these modes. You take certain months out of your schedule, and you only have a few hours sleep. I'd like to know right now, are you currently lacking sleep? Are you in that mode at the moment?
Yeah, I'm actually in it right now. It's funny you should ask. I put myself on it about 3 weeks ago. And so I'm in, it's called super activation mode. That's the label I put on it. So basically it's whereby I always make enough time for my family. You know, I make enough time for fitness as well. But then besides that, everything else goes out the window. So in other words, no time for Netflix, no time for anything really, except just work and focusing on my business. So right now I'm in that mode because I've got a lot of different projects on that require attention or require time. And for me, if you do 3 months of super activation mode, you can propel yourself ahead by about 2 years is what I've estimated from the metrics that I've got on it. So yeah, I'm in it right now because I've just got so much going on. There's no other way to do it. So I'm on about, I guess, 5 hours sleep a night at the moment. Which is fine for me, you know.
Okay, so super activation mode. When you're talking there, I'm picturing, you know, when Mark Wahlberg about a year ago released his daily routine and he gets up at 4 a.m. and he kind of chronologically went through what he did and it was time of prayer.
Yeah, yeah.
What does it look like for Keith Barry?
Yeah.
What's your hour to hour day?
Yeah, I love that because, you know, so I watch all these different guys. So The Rock, you know, gets up at 3:30 a.m. because Wahlberg gets up at 4 a.m. They keep bringing it back by an hour, by the way, because the original guy who brought this stuff out was called Robin Sharma. And his thing was the 5 a.m. club. So it was supposed to be this club of people who got up at 5 a.m. And he's actually a great writer, a really interesting guy, Robin Sharma. But then, of course, Wahlberg had to do it at 4:30 and The Rock had to do it at 4 and all that kind of stuff. So for me, it's far different than them. I kind of, I'm thinking about this a lot at the moment because I think a lot of people follow these people and they feel like they have have to get up at, you know, whatever, 5 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m., whatever it is. But I find that different people work at different times of the day better for themselves than other people. So what I mean by that is I'm a night owl. So I'm very happy to stay up till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and then get back up at 8 a.m. So although I'm a fan of the 4 a.m. club, I do it the other way around. I stay up till 4 a.m. and then get back up on the other side of it at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning, having gotten 5 or 6 hours sleep or whatever it is, you know.
You just mentioned names, Mark Wahlberg, The Rock. I found it so cool knowing that you worked on a film franchise. Now you see me with the likes of Woody Harrelson, Morgan Freeman, Dave Franco. I'd love to know, how the hell did you get involved and what's Morgan Freeman like?
Two good questions. So first of all, I have to give thanks to a fellow Irishman, actually. So there's a guy called Brian Tucker. He was working on Now You See Me 1 at the time. And when they mentioned that they wanted to get consultants in, you know, they went with some of the big Hollywood magician names that you would know who went in and auditioned. I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to audition to become a consultant on these movies. So he threw my name into the mix, and I happened to be in LA at the time. So they gave me the script. So a funny part of that story is they gave me the script, and it was a draft script of Now You See Me 1. And they asked me to read through it. And then I had to go into, like, you know, this big Hollywood hotshot studio with you know, people from Lionsgate, all these super important people there. And I went in and I gave them the script, and I just said, because I remember thinking, right, so all the in my head, I'm like, my contemporaries are going in and they're probably all doing tricks, right? So in my head, they're probably going in and just trying to wow everybody with magic. So I thought, okay, I got to do something different than that. So instead of trying to, you know, one up them using a trick, I went in and I handed them the script and I said, there's 3 spelling mistakes in your script. And they all looked at me like really weirdly, and they were like, but they were like, that's just a draft script though. And I said, yeah, but I'm a perfectionist. I need you to know that there's 3 spelling mistakes in your script. And then I gave them some free ideas for the script. So for the story arc of Now You See Me 1, I just gave them some ideas. And after about 10 minutes, one of the Hollywood executives just stood up and said, meeting adjourned, Keith's got the job, let's move on, cut the deal.
Brilliant.
And literally like that, it was that crass and that... and then Morgan Freeman. Oh, look, that was amazing. So I didn't meet him until Now You See Me 2. I was on set a lot more in Now You See Me 2 than I was in 1. So Now You See Me 2, I was on set for all 3 months of filming in Longcross Studios in London. So I was working with the set designers and the props department. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story about that I haven't told anybody in a minute, but just remind me about the fire breathing segment. But anyway, so we were towards the end of filming, and there was a closed set, meaning there was very few people on set this one day, because it was Morgan Freeman, Woody Harrelson, Mark Ruffalo, Lizzie Kaplan, Jesse Eisenberg, and Dave Franco, me, the director John Chu, and 2 cameramen, and Bobby Cohn, who was the vice president of, or president maybe even, of Lionsgate at the time. So it was like a very small crew there. And then I'm quite friendly with Woody Harrelson. So Woody popped, you know, kind of just said to Morgan Freeman, Morgan, Keith came up with all the magic and mentalism for the movie, and he can read minds. So Morgan Freeman turned to me, and I'm not going to try and take off his accent, but you could imagine this. He literally said to me, I challenge you to read my mind, in the way that only Morgan Freeman could say it. And I literally like bricked myself. I didn't know what to do. So I just did it. I just went for it. And I spent took about 8 minutes now, but I got inside his head, rambled around inside his head. And I told him about a childhood friend of his called Boo Boo that he hadn't thought about in 60 years. Wow. And he literally freaked out. And he started shouting and, you know, screaming all kinds of stuff. So it was nuts. Amazing.
So on the set of Now You See Me, were you actually teaching them legitimate tricks? So in the film, they're actually real tricks?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. So with Dave Franco, I had to teach him the 3-card trick, and I came up with a jumbo version of the 3-card trick as well. So that jumbo version of the 3-card trick ended up in the movie. The smaller version that I taught him ended up being cut from the movie for time. But I taught them all how to spin cards, how to throw cards. So there's a very famous kind of scene in Now You See Me 2 where, as part of a heist, they were stealing this chip, which was kind of like a bank card, and they were throwing that around like a playing card. We spent 5 days filming that scene, and about half of what ended up in the movie was done in real time, and the rest, of course, was CGI because it's Hollywood and they wanted CGI in there. But ultimately, I taught them loads of different tricks. So even Woody Harrelson, there's an interview with him on David Letterman, and you can find that on YouTube. And I taught him a trick where he literally got inside Letterman's brain and told him about some words that he was thinking of. Letterman is not kind to magicians normally, and when you get one over Letterman, he really kind of freaks out. So you can find that on YouTube. And I told Woody that I was there behind the scenes at Letterman teaching Woody the trick, you know.
That is so cool. You did say that you have an exclusive story about fire breathing.
Yes.
You got to give it to us, Keith.
Yeah, so I came up with this scene that I wanted to do. I never seen anybody fire breathing as part of a fight sequence. So basically, I pitched the idea to the network, or to Lionsgate, and I said, listen, I'd love to see Mark Ruffalo fire breathing on some of these goons, on some of these bad guys. And they said, okay. How do you do it? And I said, look, I don't know. I've never fire breathed before. So I did what all fire breathers will tell you not to do. Don't learn off the internet. So I'll say it now again on this podcast. Do not learn fire breathing off the internet. But like, I'm under time pressure. I'm in London. The executives want to see this. So I literally learned off the internet how to fire breathe. And I ran down to the props department, to the stunt guys. And I said, listen, we're going to do this fire breathing sequence. Get your fire suits on. Get me the petrol or whatever it was that was required to breathe fire. But I remember at the time, I did a lot of research into what the flammable liquid should be. And now I've forgotten now. I can't remember. But whatever it was, it basically needs to have a very low... flash point, because basically what you need to do is that if you dribble it down yourself, basically whatever the liquid is, I've forgotten now, but if you dribble it down yourself, it shouldn't go on fire. In other words, you shouldn't just be able to light this. But then when you create the mist or spray and there's oxygen in it, that's when it should go on fire, right? So from a safety perspective, you should never use the one that just would go on fire ordinarily. But of course, they brought me this big can of stuff because I was doing this quickly. And I took a mouthful of it. I was just about to breathe it out, and I looked at the label, and they brought me the wrong stuff. So if I had actually breathed the fire out at that moment of time, the flames would have went back into my mouth, probably down into my lungs, and it would have been curtains. But actually, I spotted it right in the moment, and I spat it out. I was like, listen, I told you not to get that. I told you to get this. So anyway, the runner at the time went down, got the proper can, and actually have footage. I'll have to dig it out someday. I actually have footage on my phone of me breathing fire and setting stuck men on fire, and now you see me too. So it was an amazing experience. And then it ended up in the movie, which was brilliant.
Keith, do you believe that anybody can be taught magic and illusion, or are you born with a certain sense of it, do you think?
No, I think anybody can learn a magic trick for sure, you know. So I think anybody can learn how to just do a trick, but to turn it into a performance art is a whole other thing. Hypnosis is a very personalized art skill, if you like, because ultimately hypnosis is based literally on language and on influencing people through your voice, on influencing people through words. And that's a very different thing. So anybody can learn a magic trick. Look, I teach people magic tricks all the time for fun. But then with hypnosis, like, it literally takes thousands and thousands of hours to become a good hypnotist. And even at that, not everybody could become a good hypnotist. I think everybody could probably become a good magician, but not everybody could become a good hypnotist. So, yeah.
When you witness other magicians do their tricks, can you tell exactly what's going on there?
Yeah, unfortunately, you lose the sense of wonder when you're in the game as long as I'm in. So you pretty much know how everything is done, and vice versa. I do remember the last time I was badly fooled, though. So it does happen probably once every 10 years or something. And I was at this magic convention in Vegas. And it was in some crappy little hotel in Vegas. I can't remember the name of the hotel now. But it was weird because I was sitting there. There's probably only about 40 of us in the audience. And there's this guy called Chad Long. So Chad Long is a fantastic magician. He's very well known in the magic circles. So Chad Long did this trick where this is the way I remember it, at least. He walked up to a wall in the hotel and he rubbed the wall, and then it got other people to rub the wall, to examine the wall. So like, the wall was fully examined. We knew there was nothing going on with the wall. And then he pulled up, sorry, my phone went off there. That's, there we go. Got rid of it. So again, Chad Long went up, he rubbed the wall. We rubbed the wall to make sure there was nothing going on with the wall. And then he pulled up his sleeve. So you can see there's nothing up his sleeves. He spread his fingers like my fingers are spread here now. I know a lot of your listeners can't see this, but he had his fingers spread. He showed his hand front to back and he started to pull playing cards out of the wall, but it was like money coming out of an ATM or a pass machine. Like, it wasn't bent coming out of the wall, so it was coming straight out of the wall, like there was a slit in the wall. And he got people to examine it, but he kept doing this over and over. And I looked at David Blaine was in the audience. I looked at David Blaine, and he knew I was looking at him, wondering how the hell is he doing this. And David Blaine just shrugged his shoulders and went, I don't know. And I looked at him and went, I don't know. And that was the one time I remember being fooled really badly. And I never asked Chad Long how it was done. I didn't want to know. I loved the moment of wonder that I experienced there, you know, but it's very rare that that now happens, you know.
When it comes to those sort of tricks, if you did want to know because you are a well-known magician, do you think he would tell you to kind of share the tricks of the trade so you could then do your own version of it?
Well, I think it depends on the magician, you know. I think Chad Long probably would have if I'd asked him. But then other magicians are obviously, for good reason, very protective of their secrets. So, I mean, generally speaking, though, at my level, there's kind of a courtesy there that we're very open with each other to share each other's methods and secrets. But again, some people are more guarded than others. I think Chad would have been open to telling me if I asked him, because Chad is one of these guys. I mean, the reason Chad was there was to teach magicians magic. That's what happens at these conventions. So if you can imagine, like, thousands and thousands of really sad, lonely men like myself gathered together in one place. As a matter of fact, the biggest magic convention in the world that happens every year happens not in Vegas, not in like somewhere beautiful like Bondi Beach. It happens in Blackpool every year.
Wow,
so
nice.
Every year I end up at Blackpool in the UK with like 3,000 magicians descend on Blackpool every year, you know, which is bizarre.
Keith, are you ever blown away by just your career? Because I remember I attended my friend Andrew's father's 50th birthday party many years ago, and you were actually the magician there, Keith. And like, to think you were really young, but you were class. But to think you've ended up sort of in Hollywood and you're rubbing shoulders with the likes of David Blaine and you're on the Ellen DeGeneres show. Are you ever just blown away by how you managed to get there?
Look, lads, I'm not going to be lying to you. I still laugh behind the scenes and I pinch myself at all the different stuff that I've done. Like, I don't let her run away with myself, you know. And look, I'm very grateful that, look, I've got a great set of friends that have kept me really grounded at times, because, look, you could find yourself, like, you know, here, so here's a good example. And like, when I was on Now You See Me Too, Woody Harrelson rings me and goes, come on, we're going out for drinks. Where are we going? I say to him. So he goes, the Chiltern Firehouse. I'd never heard of it, right? So I go to this place, the Chiltern Firehouse. There's a big long queue outside and I walk up and I go, hi, how's it going? And I think I'm on the list. And they're like, well, you're not on the list. I said, well, yeah, Woody said. And the second you mentioned Woody, it's just like the rope opens. Ah. And I'm just swooshed through on my own. And then when I get there, though, it's me, Woody Harrelson, Rita Ora, and Kylie Minogue. So I'm sitting there like this young Egypt from Waterford, you know, and I'm sitting there roaring, laughing internally, roaring, laughing. Like, 5 minutes ago, I was in my hotel room with nothing to do, and now I'm doing magic for Kylie Minogue, doing shots of Japanese whiskey, and hanging out with Rita Ora. And so, but to get back to your point, I always pinch myself in those situations, and even now, I still pinch myself. But I do think, like, to loop back to it, it does come down to work ethic, though. You know, the reason I have the work ethic that I do, and I go on what I call super activation mode, is I remember a quote 20 years ago or more, and it still resonates with me. It still goes through my brain weekly, at least, by Will Smith. And they said to Will Smith, what's the secret of your success? Now, he was only really predominantly, it might even be 30 years ago when I heard this, but he was really only predominantly a rapper at the time. He hadn't really gone into acting. So he said, when all the other rappers are in bed, I'm up practicing my rapping. And that really resonated with me. It was like, okay, when everybody else is in bed, I'm still up and on the hustle. I'm still up practicing. I'm sending out emails. I'm figuring stuff out. I'm trying to. So it's even with the pandemic, you know, unfortunately, live entertainment was the first to go. I don't know when I'll be back on stage. I'm hoping to be back on stage sooner rather than later, obviously. But look, you know, I didn't hang around like and just sit on my laurels. I flipped myself online and created a new business model online. So now I'm performing every single day for the likes of Google, Comcast, Dell, Amazon, Microsoft, and the list goes on. But that just comes down to work ethic again, and just having a mindset of, you know, just, I always have this thing in my head as well. I've only got one gear and it's forward. End of story. So I don't look backwards. I just keep going and going and going and hustling, you know?
So when you're not in the super activation, maybe say you're on holidays, are you able to switch off, or are you looking everywhere for magic and potential tricks and inspiration?
It's kind of a mixture of both. I love what I do, so I am normally looking for inspiration pretty much anywhere. So watching a movie out in nature or whatever, but I do have a turn off switch. So I do have the ability to turn off. So if, for example, if I have a barbecue in the back garden as it is now, but I love barbecuing anyway, I've been barbecuing for years. So it kind of suits me to be in the back garden. But if I have a barbecue and we invite people over, I don't think anything. I just talk crap with my dad and my friends. We just have a laugh. And then fishing is my thing. So fishing is my happy place. So I'm an avid angler. So I'm very happy to be on the banks of a river for 8 hours at a time, thinking of nothing except where's the fish. So I do think everybody needs to turn off. And I certainly have the ability to do that as well, and spend time with my kids. So I remember, again, I take inspiration from other people. Jack Nicklaus, it was the golfer, and he said he was very good at compartmentalizing. So when he was in golf, he was fully invested all the way in. But when he was with his family over here, fully invested all the way in, and no, you know, forgot about golf. And I'm pretty much the same with my own kids. You know, when I'm with them, I'm fully attentive. And you know what's great? I'll give you. Have either of you kids, lads?
No. Well, no, we don't know about Graham. He did spend a summer in Magaluf.
No, we're okay. Don't worry about it.
Well, yeah, you never know then. Actually, you do know. I'd say definitely have at least one summer in Magaluf. But
I hope,
but for
not.
Me, the best thing ever is my kid is now, my son is now 9, and I get to play Xbox and not feel guilty about it. So I'm sitting down, I'm playing like whatever it is. I don't play Fortnite or any of that, but I play games like that. So Street Fighter for me was like, is a great memory from when I was young. So yeah, I get to switch off and do all that kind of stuff, all that normal stuff too, when I'm not on the super activation mode, you know.
Now, Keith, I don't want to put you on the spot here, okay? And by all means, you could tell me, Nathan, just shove off, okay? I've done enough for you. But I don't know if this could work. Maybe it could, but you're seeing my boy Graham on webcam. Is there any way you could do the littlest of tricks? Nothing too heavy. I don't want to be pushing you too much, but if there's anything, do you think you could?
Yeah, well, let's try two things. Why don't we do this? Two things. Okay, so...
I love magic.
I just have to...
fucking love it.
Can I just say, Keith, I don't want to get involved because I constantly just fucking mess up the trick, okay? And I don't want to do that. So let's just leave it up to Graham, and I'm going to observe from a distance like a creep.
I love it. Don't worry, I'm not a skeptic.
All right, so Graham, back here, look. I've got a bowl of cards, okay? Now, here's what I want you to know. There's 52 decks of cards in here, okay? Mm-hmm. And in each deck of cards, I've actually flipped over. I reversed one card. So all 52 cards are reversed in all 52 decks. But of course, we don't know which cards are reversed in which deck. They're not stacked. They're all in different positions. But look, I'll take out one just to show you what I mean. I'll pop these back up here for a second. So for anybody listening, again, I've got 52 decks with 52 cards reversed. And Graham, I'll just go through this one and we'll find there's one there. It is the two of diamonds is reversed in that deck. So we're going to put the two of diamonds back in. We will put the deck back in the box and then we'll put the box back inside the bowl, right? So we're going to give these a good mix up now. So I'll just kind of pop those in there and I'll shake the bowl so the cards roll around a bit so we don't know what deck is where, what card is where. But this is where you come in, Graham. Graham, I want you to think of any card that you want in a deck. But don't tell us. Don't tell us what card you're thinking of. Just get a card in mind, lock it inside your head, okay? Have you got one?
Yeah.
Okay, so here's the game we're going to play right now. I'm going to take out a deck one at a time like this, and I'm just going to discard them, okay? But when a deck feels right to you, for whatever reason, when it feels right to you, just say stop. Now, bear in mind, there'll obviously be a slight delay on the camera, so if you're going to say stop, just say stop early so it doesn't go down out of camera. But I'll hold it here for a second or two, and when you say stop, we'll hold on to that deck, okay? I'll put that one back in, I'll just give it another mix, and let's go. So anytime you want.
Stop.
The one that went down, or the next one?
No, the last one, the third one, the one that's went
down.
This one? Yeah.
This one here?
Yeah.
Now, I want everybody to know, it went down a shot for a second because you were a bit late saying stop, but that's okay because we don't know what card you're thinking of right now. And you've got a card in mind, yes?
Yeah.
Okay, good. But do you want to change this out for another deck or do you want to hold on to this deck? But you have to go with a feeling. So if it feels right, do you stick with it?
This feels good.
If it feels wrong, do you get rid of it?
It feels good. It feels good to me.
Feels good? Okay, we're going to get rid of the rest of the decks. Back up here. So remember, one card reversed in every deck. Graham just picked this deck at random. I don't even know what card is reversed inside this deck. Graham, for the first time, name out loud, what card are you thinking of?
The Five of Spades.
The Five of Spades. Now, Graham, let's take a look slowly inside here. You can see there is indeed a deck of cards. I'll go through it. I'll hold it right up close to the camera, okay? You can see all the cards are different, and there is one card reversed there, Graham. It's only one card reversed. There is no other card reversed in this deck. And Graham, you found the five of spades.
Oh, wow. It's a five
Jesus!
Of spades.
Oh, my God.
Yes. That is good, Jesus.
And Graham, thank you so much for not switching out the deck. Because if you'd switched out the deck, that would have screwed everything up. You know what I'm saying?
That's God, excellent.
Isn't that mad? Do you know why?
I love it. I love magic so much. You don't understand.
Can I tell
you? It.
Magic makes me so nervous, guys, because I'm so scared. Look, I'm so confident now with you, Keith. You're an absolute pro. You really never make any mistakes and stuff, but. What if in that moment you'd made a mistake? Then I don't know what you afterwards.
Oh, I do make mistakes all the time.
See, this all stems back to one time.
Oh, I do make mistakes all the time.
There was a magician with Nathan and I, but the problem with Nathan is he doesn't know the difference between a spade and a club. So when the magician was coming out and showed, he got mixed up and he forgot it. And then the magician failed the trick because Nathan didn't know the difference between a spade and a club. So that's why Nathan has this sense of stress when it comes to magicians and chatting to them.
Well, Graham, I think we need to use Nathan for this then.
Oh, no.
Switch around.
Graham, you're going to get involved as well for a second. Okay.
Do you need the two of us in camera?
If you can have the two of you on camera, that'd be better. But if not, it'll be fine.
Okay, so just swing the microphone around, Nathan. That'll be fine.
I'm sure you're in a bubble at this stage, lads.
We're grand. There we go.
So, Graham, we're going to start with you, okay?
Yeah.
Because back here, I have a problem that I want you to help me solve in a second. So, Rubik's Cubes, there is 43 quintillion variations to a Rubik's Cube. Now, what I mean by that is, if I was to turn this cube one turn per second, well, that's 60 turns per minute. That's 3,600 turns per hour. That's 86,400 turns per day. Now, what that means, lads, is if I was to turn the cube one turn per second since before time even began, I still would not have turned this 43 quintillion times. Now, Graham, you're going to mix this up, okay? Obviously, you have to do this virtually, so here's how we'll do it. We're going to mix it on all six sides, so I'll twist like this, and anytime you want, you say stop, and then we'll go to a different side. That's to make sure that you, because if I mix like this, you might think that I'm just doing it in a certain pattern or something. So you get to do it, okay? So anytime you want, say stop.
Stop.
Okay, let's do another side.
Stop.
Okay, the next side.
Stop.
Okay, I'll keep twisting.
Stop.
And now the side that's facing you.
Stop.
And now the side that's facing me. And that'll be all six sides.
And stop.
Done. Are you happy that that's mixed up, or do you want to mix it some more? Your choice.
No, that's perfect. Yep, all good.
Okay. So it wouldn't even matter too much to me because I'm not going to try and solve this. Nathan, you're going to try and solve this.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. At least we're not doing cards anyway.
You're good with colours.
So have you ever solved a Rubik's Cube, Nathan?
No, I've barely seen one if I'm honest with you, Keith.
So, listen, here's the idea. Even though there's 43 quintillion variations, weirdly enough, every cube can be solved in less than 20 moves. So I know by looking at the way Graham has mixed this up, this can actually be solved in five moves, five exact moves. This will be fully solved, meaning all six orange, six green on one side, six red on the other side, and so on. So, Nathan, don't overthink this. That's the worst thing you can do. So you need to answer my questions quickly, okay? So here we go. I'll close my eyes. Do you want to start at the top, bottom, front, back, left, right, or middle?
Top.
Do you want to go clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Clockwise.
How many moves?
Four.
One, two, three, four. Which, just so you know, did absolutely nothing. It just revolved it around full circle. So that's your first move done. All right, second move. Top, bottom, front, back, left, right, or middle?
Left.
Forwards or backwards?
Backwards.
How many moves?
Two.
One, two, done. Top, bottom, front, back, left, right, and middle?
Back.
Clockwise or anti-clockwise?
Clockwise.
How many?
Three.
One, two, three. All right, two moves left. Top, bottom, front, back, left, right, and middle?
Can I just say, guys, I'm really scared I'm messing up the trick here.
Stop overthinking
okay,
it.
Okay, I'm
you
sorry.
I have full confidence in you.
Okay, so what's the question, sorry?
Jesus.
Top, bottom, front, back, left, right, or middle?
Middle, please.
Forwards or backwards?
Forwards.
How many moves?
One.
Done. All right, top, bottom, front, back, left, right, or middle?
Middle.
Forwards or backwards?
Backwards.
How many?
Three.
One, two, three. 43 quintillion variations and in just five moves, Nathan, you solved...
Oh, Jesus.
Nothing.
Jesus. See, this is why I should never...
Do you remember you told me about that card trick and he didn't know the difference between clubs and spades? Are you colorblind or something, Nathan?
It's not fixed, Nathan. What did you do? You over...
This
you
is
over
why I don't
wait,
like...
Wait. Wait. Oh, my God. Oh, my... Graham, you're not going to believe this.
What?
This is actually solved. This is fully solved, but just not in the way that you think. You see, back here, look, check this out. Back here, underneath this wine glass... There's another cube. Did you even see that other cube up there, Nathan?
I did not, no.
Check this out, look. You matched one side of my cube.
Holy shit!
They are matched.
Holy God!
The odds of that happening are 1 of 43 quintillion times 1 of 43 quintillion. We didn't just match one side, look. You matched two sides. We didn't just match two sides. You actually matched three sides. You didn't just match three sides. You actually matched four sides.
Nathan
and five sides and six sides. That's 43 contained times 43 contained. Nathan, you're an absolute genius.
Nathan O'Reilly, what a magician. And the illusionist.
Dear God, I have no idea how that happened. That is so cool. Now, Keith, look, thank you so much for being on this. We want you to plug. What's going on in your life? Is there any shows? Anyone listening? How can they see you? Because they really do want to.
So I did a whole bunch of public shows, but there's no public shows at the moment, so I'm too busy doing the corporate stuff. Lots of announcements coming up later in the year. So stuff fully locked in. Can't really talk about it right now. But if people just want to follow me on TikTok, so I'm Keith Barry on TikTok. I put lots of cool, quick magic tricks up there, and then on Instagram as well. So follow me there for more things, brain hacking, hypnosis, optical illusions. So I'd love if people just follow me on my socials. That'd be great.
I noticed your optical illusions this morning while I was eating my breakfast. I was checking you out on Instagram and I thoroughly enjoyed them. It's nice to see. Is that all because you're kind of tweaking your business plan, going more online because of the pandemic and everything like that, trying to reach a wider audience?
Yeah, look, I've never really put too much focus on my social medias, if I'm being honest. So I'm putting a little bit more energy there. But look, do you know what I hate about, I'll be honest, do you know what I hate about my industry? It's not that I have to keep secrets, it's that I get all these contracts from these TV companies and these publishing companies who just NDA me, which means non-disclosure. I can't tell anybody anything. So I actually have a bunch of those right now signed. But later in the year, absolutely, there's going to be some huge announcements coming. Probably in September is when I can really talk about them. So if people want to hear about those announcements, both in TV, perhaps a little bit of writing that I'm doing at the moment, ultimately just follow me on my socials. They'll be able to find out about all that stuff there.
Oh, well, I have to say, Keith, it's the first time myself and Graham have ever actually properly met you. So we want to say absolute delight chatting to you. You're such a busy guy. You really actually didn't even have to do this. So it's so good that you did. And Jesus, it's great to see that you've so much work ahead of you because you're one of the good guys.
Thank you, Keith. Thank you so much for joining us.
And hopefully we get to person next time, right?
Definitely.
And do us a favor, the two of you, right? Whatever way you want to do it, just say hello to my daughter, Brianna. She's a big fan.
Perfect.
Right?
Perfect.
Everything I've done, she's not interested in me hanging out with Morgan Freeman. She's not interested in me hanging. She was like, you're meeting Nathan and Graham? Oh my God. So give a shout out to Brianna, whatever way you want to do it.
On the radio show or on this show?
On the radio.
We'll do it on the radio.
Oh, on both.
Do it on the radio.
Greedy.
So big shout out to Brianna, and we'll have that coming on Fully Charged as well. Keith Barry, thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, lads.
Thanks.
Bye.
See you, Keith. Cheers. Take
bye
care,
bye.
Man.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort. Suffocation. No.